Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the man who needeth no introduction, the captain, Jack Barry, looking dapper. My bro, you are swagged up today.
I don't know. Well, yeah. It is the Lord's Day, so I
mean, it is the Lord's Day. That's true. On, so. That's true. We are recording a day early, yeah. So there is that. But yeah, you're showing up to the podcast looking professional. I appreciate it.
I had to do a lot today. I had to do setup team this morning.
Oh, okay.
Security. Okay. Serving communion, whole bunch of stuff. So
wow, yeah,
heavy poncho day for you. Not sponsored by them, but yeah. Great shirts, great performance shirts. So
ah, man, it'd be cool to get like
shirts.
We should get a clothing sponsorship. I think that would be pretty dope.
That would be legit. I would like cool. that a lot. Poncho, if you're cool. listening, sponsored, not sponsored.
Hit us up, poncho.
I like you. I like yeah. you, poncho.
Hit us up. I had a pretty full Sunday as well. I did call to worship this morning, and then it was my go round to do the Lord's Supper. So
wrote you, up my Lord's Supper and thing. You got to walk to church just smoking dude, your pipe.
Dude, it was
living
a great
it
morning.
Up. So just absolutely yeah. living it up for all of us other plebeians that have to yes. drive.
All of the peons. Yes, exactly. All of the Philistines. Now, so this is how it went down. It was, so my wife had hospitality this morning, so she was doing all the coffee and stuff like that. So I said, hey, you know, it was raining pretty hard this morning. And I'm like, hey, why don't you just take the car, take the truck to church, leave me the umbrella and I'll hoof it. And so I'm in the living room. She had already left. I'm finishing up my communion, you know, little, you know, devotional. And I pack it up and I'm like, you know what, dude, I'm going to pull out my pipe. I haven't pulled out my pipe in a while. And man, I had a Lord's Day
in a while.
I had a Lord's Day lunt what I had. I was lunting this morning.
How long does it take for you to walk to your, where you guys meet? Currently,
yeah, it's like a 10-minute walk.
Oh, that's dude. That's
it's not bad at all.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad at
that's
all.
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a 2-minute drive and a 10-minute walk. So, I was happy. It was a good morning. Got to do communion this morning, and then, dude, I got home.
Oh yeah,
I took a legendary Lord's Day nap. I woke up in a different universe, dude. It was one of those naps where you wake up and you're like, what happened? Where am I? Who's president right now?
I love it because my son's naps basically, so we have one service.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And we usually get home. We start at 10. We usually get home by like 12 or like 12:15.
Right.
Give him something to eat, and then he goes down for his nap, and he usually sleeps for about 2 hours. Half of that time, if I'm lucky, I can sleep. I can get a little hour nap in, too.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Those first day naps hit different, man. They do.
Today was nice because, I mean, we had our we have our fellowship Bible study as well, too, in the evenings.
Nice.
And so we were – I actually had to prep for that this morning. So okay. We made a pot roast – crock pot, ooh, potatoes.
Oh, man.
Got a little sear on the pot roast first.
Talking my language, man.
Salt, pepper on that thing. Chopped up some celery, carrots, onions, potatoes.
Now you're talking.
Throw some onion powder in there as well, too. Salt and pepper on there.
You got to stop.
Worcestershire sauce up in that.
I'm a sucker for a good classic pot roast.
I can master a good crock pot meal. I feel like I do well at that.
But
there's one thing that I do well in life, and
100% Well, as much as I do want to keep talking about pot roast, that sounds amazing, Jack, we got to get to our topic, but before we do, it is time for everyone's favorite segment. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. It is time for Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
It is that time for Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams, where you send us the grams and we give you the grins. I'm not stuck on that, on that kind of outro saying, it's just what's here. But it is true. Yeah, it's not heresy unless you, as long as you believe it hard enough.
Of Josh's quickest pulls ever done in the history of pulling out just something from his rear end and throwing it and making sure that it stuck. So
It's true.
And it stuck.
For sure. It did. I like it. Jack, I've got a couple doozies for you today. All right, we're going to start off with this classic from a real scholar in the, let's just say, the eschatological arts. Okay, this guy is a world-class interpreter of current culture. All right, enjoy.
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy, but here's my number. Call me maybe. Let's look at those four phrases separately and see how God is revealing to us the name of the Antichrist.
Oh my God.
That took the...
The
turn that took, dude.
Wow.
It took such a hard pivot. Hey.
Went from covering Call Me Maybe to just naming the Antichrist.
Let's see how this song is revealing to us the name of the Antichrist. There's more. Jack, I want you to listen intently. Listen intently, okay? This guy's obviously done his homework. Listen to this.
Hey, I just met you. Now, the I in this case refers to the Antichrist. And just meeting you means that he is revealing himself. This is the Antichrist's entrance into the end times. And this is crazy. That's the 7 years of tribulation. But here's my number. He is talking here about his number of the beast, which he is going to give to every one of us. So call me maybe. Now, he's not saying call me on the telephone.
No.
What the Antichrist is saying here is, my name is Maybe. Call me Maybe. Nostradamus also called the Antichrist Mabus.
I'm convinced.
Wow.
I'm convinced. Wow. This guy has convinced me. He has convinced me.
Nostradamus.
Yes.
If there's a man you can trust,
it's him.
Mabus, man.
Mabus. This guy, hey, he's done his homework, okay? All right. You gotta at least give him credit for that.
Wow.
Yeah. Excellent. I got one more. This one was sent in. This one was sent in.
I don't know if I can keep a straight face. This one's great. No need.
This one was sent in by listener Caleb Buchanan. Jack, have you ever wondered what it would be like if your music in your Lord's Day service was led by T-Pain?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I think I've seen this one. Blessing us here, right? Jesus is mine. He sent the fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his secret and washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay,
Stephen Hawking up in here testifying.
Oh, dude!
Stephen Hawking up in here testifying. That's horrible. I told you this episode was going to be spicy before we even got to it.
When the service ends, it's like the Windows computer shutdown song.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Dude.
I had to pull that one out. Yeah. I had to pull that one out. It was waiting, dude.
Well done. Well done. The crazy thing is like, it sound like I like the sound of it. Like I like it sounds cool. But for church is wild,
dude.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you enjoyed those. That was Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. We appreciate you guys sending those to us. Make sure to continue to send those. We really enjoy watching those and reacting to those. It gives the episode a great, great, great vibe. Let's just put it that way. But Jack, it's time to transition.
Pivot, hard pivot
into more serious topics. This is one that we wanted to talk. It's actually probably good that we started the episode with such brevity because the topic itself is somewhat heavy.
Yeah. Yep.
We just got done being led in worship by T-Pain. Now we're going to talk about when congregants are mean to each other and to pastors. But it is a true and real thing that, as you know, you don't have to be in ministry very long. You don't have to be a church member very long to understand and to realize that you go to church with fellow sinners, right? Those that war against their old nature and try, just as we do, try to put it to death every single day, and sometimes have success with that, and sometimes we don't. The old man comes through, and the old man proves to be stronger than our resolve to be like Christ. And you run into situations where the sheep will bite, and sometimes they will bite each other, and sometimes they will bite their shepherds, right? I think there's a lot of talk, and rightly so, because of the accountability that is needed for those that are in church leadership. There's lots of discussion regarding pastoral abuse, right? And again, rightly so. We need to be calling that out. That needs to be a large, continuous topic of discussion. But there's not a lot of conversation within that kind of sphere of I would say maybe the theological camp of what happens when the sheep begin to abuse, right? And the sheep begin to snap at the shepherds and to resist the leadership and to come against them, right? Or come against each other. So that's what this episode is going to be about. Jack and I have talked ad nauseum and will continue to talk about pastoral abuse and things like that and the accountability that's needed and the need for continuing to walk in light of the qualifications given in Scripture and the Timothy and Titus, right, for a church leader. But sometimes, especially when you're in pastoral leadership, you run into situations where you lead well, you attempt to shepherd out of love and grace and humility, and you do that successfully, but the result is that you are still turned on by the sheep, right? And I don't think that this is a popular topic, because I think for those that I think are perhaps looking at the situation, I would say more emotionally, the response, Jack, I don't know if you've run into this, and maybe I'll throw it over to you kind of with this question. Something that I have run into is when trying to have discussions around this particular topic, one of the quick retorts that I run into is, well, but pastoral leadership is full of abuse also, and pastors are much more likely to abuse the sheep than the sheep are to abuse the pastors. What would you say to that as kind of a retort to wanting to try to press into this important but uncomfortable topic?
Yeah, I would say first, correlation does not equal causation. I think it really does depend too. The amount of times, I think it's really kind of an unsaid thing, to be quite honest, because I think a lot of this comes down to people's preferences in certain cases, how pastors preach, things that happen in the service. I feel like it happens more with older generations. Maybe that's a generalization. Maybe that's an assumption. That's just what I've seen lately, is older generations usually are bucking up against the pastors in relation to how things are being preached. Mm-hmm. So when I say how things are being preached, I'm saying you have a expository way of preaching. It's not how the message is arranged necessarily.
Yeah.
Although I've even seen it where some people come against that. Some people prefer this kind of MacArthuristic commentary type preaching versus I would say more expository preaching is, you know, you can find this in Brian Chappell's book called Christ-Centered Preaching, but basically you're trying to get to the heart at what the author of this text is saying to the people that he is either writing to or the audience that he's writing to. So you're trying to get to the heart of that versus you're just hyperlinking this whole thing and just keep going back to that. No, there's an actual message that needs to be said that is behind the text that the pastor is preaching. So I've heard stuff come against that way of preaching lately. Those are more preferences. And when people turn preferences into their absolutes, their non, I don't know, their essentials.
Yeah. Non-negotiables.
Non-negotiables. Yeah. That's where it gets ugly.
Yeah.
That's where it starts to get ugly.
And
I would say you have more incidents like that happen versus the amount of times in which pastors, it's either equal to or more than the times that pastors are caught in the way in which, you know, you find a disqualified elder.
Sure.
I think that is more of the case. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I can admit that, but I'm making a point to where, and this is maybe some personal preference and what I've seen over the years, but the amount of pastors I've seen failed and be disqualified from leadership is half the amount of times I've seen congregations that do something that are really just not loving towards the elders. Look, you can go through epistles and epistles worth of stuff in which the apostles are warning against false teachers and false teachers and people who are, the whole first epistle to the Corinthians is talking about division and how division comes. It starts within the church and then it starts to spread and goes outward.
Yeah.
It doesn't start from this sort of invasion of ideas. No, it starts within the church first, and then it starts to make these cuts and ripples and cracks, and then it starts to divide the church. And that's, it's kind of what Satan really wants at the end of this. He wants a divided people. He does not want a united church at all. And so I have seen more of that, to be quite honest, in my lifetime than I've seen disqualified eldership.
I would agree with that, right? And I think I think part of the reason for the perhaps backlash to that statement is because when you see elders become disqualified in one way or another, it's usually much more public than what we are talking about. Often
100%
often when sheep will bite, it's often not in the, I would say, grand public sphere than when a pastor becomes disqualified.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. It's not, that's not across the board. Right. But often it is done with subterfuge, with deceit, deception, right? And usually done in the shadows, either gossip, right, amongst the members, or private conversations, right? Emails, phone calls, things like that. Often it's not a large display, right? But I guess one of the reasons we're wanting to talk about this is not only kind of wanting to go to bat for, I think, pastors who often see all of the ridicule that's thrown toward their office, but not a lot of support. I think there's a reality there, right? Mm-hmm. As that there is another side to the coin, right? Yeah. Being a pastor is one of the most joyful experiences that I am privileged to have. But it's also difficult, especially when you run into sheep that for one reason or another, refuse to be shepherded, right? Or have a hard time with that. And I think a lot of pastors run into that and don't feel as if they can say anything because that, like that retort that I brought up at the beginning is it's often, pastors are abusive all the time. So basically just deal with it. Right. And I don't like that. I don't like that because both can be true at the same time and both should be dealt with biblically. Right.
Yeah.
Spurgeon in his sermon, The Sheep Before the Shearers, I'll put the link to it in the description of the episode, but he does a great job at kind of using the shearing process of a sheep to describe the work of the pastor to the sheep. And in it, he says, the shearers, when they are taking the wool off the sheep, take care not to hurt the sheep. They clip as close as they can, but they do not cut the skin. Right. And in that, he is describing the surgeon-like responsibility that a pastor has to utilize the word of God and apply it to the lives of those under his care. Right. We've talked about it before on this podcast that pastors shouldn't be using the word of God like a sledgehammer. We should be using it like a scalpel.
Yeah.
Right. Being very specific and intentional with how it is being applied to the lives of those under our care. And at times, when you seek to apply the word of God to someone's life, the result is not, the what you would hope to be the application of that word, right? Sometimes the sheep turn the other way, yeah, and they bite, and they reject that counsel. They reject that word, and they will call into question your fitness for ministry. They will call into question your love for them. They will call into question so many things about you, your character, the things that you are called to, simply because they are being convicted by the word of God. And it's easier to bite the shepherd than to attempt to bite God.
Yeah.
Right. But in actuality, right, what they are doing is rebelling against what the word of God says.
Yeah.
And not what the pastor is telling them to do, right? Because and that's something that I often am want to be very clear with, whether I'm counseling, whether I'm preaching. Something that I'll often say is, it is not the job of the pastor, right, to control your conscience. Mm-hmm. It is our job to inform it. Mm-hmm. Right. And to allow you to make the decisions that you're going to make with an informed conscience that has been formed not by our opinion, but by the word of God. And sometimes, Jack, that informing, utilizing the word of God specifically, will create a negative response with those that you are trying to help. And it really does turn into that, you know. Because I've sheared sheep before. I grew up on a farm, right? I've sheared sheep. I've, done hoof care for horses and things like that. You have to, especially with a horse, man. This example might not land with people, but it works in my head. You have to secure that hoof, because mm-hmm. that horse's natural response is going to be to pull its hoof out, yeah, right? So if you're gonna do some care, some hoof care, right? Going to trim it up, going to change the shoe, whatever it is you're going to do. There's a rock underneath. Something that we would do is I would take that hoof, I would grab it with both hands, I'd put it between my knees, and I'd clench down, right? I would secure it so that it couldn't move, so that I could do the work, right? And the horse's natural reaction is to struggle yeah, and get out of it, right? Now, to be very clear, I'm not comparing congregants to livestock, okay? Okay? That's not what I'm doing. But just as Spurgeon does. It's an illustration. Right? Just as Spurgeon does here, he shows the need and the reaction that comes sometimes when you're trying to help the person, but it results in them struggling, biting, fighting. And that's a hard thing.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to deal with for pastors, especially if that has been a relationship or a situation that you have poured a lot of time and effort into. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, yeah. And I mean, it's a two-way street, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing. Like, we don't want to say everything in this episode is the congregant's fault. I mean,
no, Josh, absolutely.
And, yeah. Josh and I will regularly say sometimes, if you need to call out elders for, you know, not unbiblical qualification, then go ahead, go through that process.
Yeah.
But I think in this case too, it is your pastors are there in order to shepherd you, as they have a very high calling, mm-hmm. they have a very high calling. And I know this because I've been going through this intensive Pastors and Leaders Institute. And believe me, the way in which pastors are trying to care for you sometimes, at least for the majority of the part, I know there's those, you know, those bad apples out there.
There's always outliers. There's always exceptions to the rule.
It's a totally different story. But the main people that you know that are trying to spiritually grow you and disciple you through various different means, like the word and through fellowship, and through counsel, mm-hmm. Those folks genuinely want you to flourish in your mm-hmm. faith.
Right.
And when they just get punched in the chest one day mm-hmm. because one of the sheep doesn't like X, Y, or Z for no apparent reason other than it's their preference and they're trying to make it a, you know, they're trying to now make a minor thing a major thing. Mm-hmm. That's where I see, I think, the wearing down of a lot of pastors. And that's why you see a lot of folks get out of the pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
And just get out of pastoral ministry altogether, because that kind of wearing down over time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like your brakes. You have so many of those like hard stops that happen that sometimes your brakes are just going to get absolutely just, you know, driven down to where you don't have any anymore.
Yeah.
And you're rolling around and it's squeaking like all get out.
Yeah.
And you're just,
that's a really good example. Actually.
And you're just on just straight up metal to metal.
Right.
You don't have any brake anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've seen so many situations like that where good guys are getting dragged through the mud. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to see that because on one hand, it's not my job to go over and to gossip and to say to that person, like, mm-hmm. get your head out of your rear end. You know, this is not of the Lord and stuff like that.
Right.
But it is very difficult when you're laboring in prayer for certain situations that come up that you know that are happening.
Yeah.
And you want a best outcome as possible, and it's just probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's really tough to see that because, it's like watching, I don't know if I've ever used this illustration before, but it's really, I don't know. It's really touching to me, but it's like when I was on a combat patrol in Afghanistan and we got blown up. Mm-hmm. And one of my team leaders died in this, this attack on us. I'm sure it feels like that to the pastors because you feel like you're getting blown up.
Yeah.
And especially when it happens emotionally, it's really tough because you can't talk about it.
Yeah. Sure.
To other people. And if you do talk about it, it's in a members meeting.
Right.
And when it's brought up, it's usually on the case of, do we discipline this person or not?
Sure.
Or they've already left the church and you have to deal with, we've sent this guy messages about X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on. Mm-hmm. He's not responsive to us. We're sending out this other thing. We're going to see what happens from here.
Yeah.
Those situations are really tough because, at the end of the day, like you, just like in that convoy, like I was responsible for those people. As a pastor, you're responsible for those congregants, and it hurts when stuff like that happens. So
I think there's a lot that pastors deal with that the congregation doesn't realize, right? Yeah. And again, that's not a put down of the congregation. It's just it's they're not in the role, right? And I think it's important, and I want to make sure not to be just too fatalistic in this, because again, pastoring, there's a lot of joy in pastoring. There really is, right? But I can say that I think it would be good for a lot of congregants to know that the majority of conversations your pastor has with congregants are probably bad ones. Mm. Like, we do have good conversations with people, right? But usually how it usually is when someone's reaching out to us, it's because something's wrong. Mm-hmm. They're either in sin or they're struggling or they're mad at us. It's those three. Right. They're in sin. They're struggling with something. They not sin, or they're mad at something that we did or something we preached or something we said. Right. Now, those aren't all the conversations, of course. Yeah. Right. There are many great and joyful conversations that we have. But I think it would be good for congregants to, I think, know that sometimes, because it's going to affect the way that you approach your pastor. Mm. It's going to affect the way that you care for him, because we need care.
Oh yeah.
You can't underestimate. Like, I'll give you an example. we had a congregant in our church who had to have a meeting with someone else about some things that they were seeing some behavior that was not lining up with scripture, and they had to have a conversation, right? It was really good. And they had the conversation with him, and this congregant called me afterward just to kind of give me an update on how the conversation went with this individual and all that stuff. And one of the things that she said is she said, I was not aware of the pressure that those kind of conversations have. And she said, it really made me appreciate all the more you pastors who have those on a regular basis. Mm. And I told her how much that really encouraged me, because that was a very one sweet thing to say, but also something that was very validating and caring for me and my soul.
Yeah.
Is realizing like, oh yeah, that part's not fun. And it's not, right? And something I told her too. And I said, hey, your convo went great. Now imagine those convos when they go badly. And she's like, I can't even imagine. Oh, yeah. I said, then that's the majority of them, right? Yeah. But I think it's good for congregants to know that I would probably say the majority of the conversations that we are engaged with in our congregations are usually negative ones. Right. And if you're the type of person that gets stressed out with conflict, right, gets stressed out with confrontation, imagine that being your job. Mm. It does wear on you.
Yeah.
Right. It makes you tired. It makes you weary. And it requires that you have things in your life that give you life and give you joy, because those things are rough. They're rough to go through. Right. And again, this isn't a pity party. Woe is me as a pastor. Right. Being a pastor is great. It's there's a lot of joy, as I've said, but my hope is that that helps maybe those listening to this that aren't in that office to realize how to specifically care for their pastors more. One, in prayer, definitely, but let them know you're praying for them.
Yeah.
Let them know you care for them. Let them know that you think they're doing a good job. Let them know you're proud of them. Let them know you appreciate them, right? All of these things that we would be very, very happy to receive as compliments. Give those to your pastors, because I guarantee you, they just got off the phone. They just read an email. They just responded to the 20th text. They just had another meeting that just went south, and they're tired. And they're probably discouraged and they're frustrated, right? So, yeah, it's unfortunate when sheep will bite, because I do think that it is, one, it's a misunderstanding of the intent of the pastor to care for them, right? And it's a lack of love. It's a lack of love for those that the Lord has placed in your life, one, as your authority, but two, as your shepherd.
Yeah.
As someone called to care for your soul, to take inventory of you as a person, to see what it is that you struggle with, and to take the word of God and apply it like a healing balm to you, right? Mm. That's the pastor's job.
Yep.
And it's a joyful experience when that is received, but there are many times where it's not, and that hurts, and that wears on you. So Yeah, it is. This is kind of a going to bat for pastors episode. Like, they need pastors are people too. You know, they need help. They need care, because you get a lot of those emails, a lot of those text messages, a lot of those voicemails, and that weighs on you, man. It really does.
Yeah, there's a type of it where I think I only experience a little bit of that. You know, my daily work in the private sector, I'm probably one of the only Christian men in the room, if anything.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe the only man in the room sometimes.
Yeah.
And that is a very lonely place. Sure. And I experienced that last week. I can only imagine, Josh, some of the pastors, what they have to go through. Mm-hmm. If that is tripled, quadrupled, tenfold, 20-fold
right.
a year,
right.
that is a very rough place to be in.
It is. Yeah.
And I think that's why we care so much about local churches and local pastors, because mm-hmm. it is a tough place to be in. Right. And we don't want folks to burn out or to get discouraged to the point where they're quitting mm-hmm. And they're in a rough place. And so, yeah, I'm just throwing my support out there to pastors. I have my quabbles with former ones, but sure. for my current ones, I would go to bat for those guys any day of the week, to be quite honest. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's what they need. That's what your local pastors need. They need to understand that you're behind them, that you're praying for them,
yeah.
and that you're there to help them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because yeah. that's what they need. If my loneliness in the private sector felt like that for about a week, yeah. I can only imagine sometimes with what they are going through with yeah. certain situations in the local church. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure, man. For sure. I think that's a good place to leave it. Yeah. Pastors, be encouraged. The work is good. The work is right. But congregants, you know, those that have their pastors over you and caring for you, care for them. Care for them. Lift them up, not only in prayer, but also in word and in deed, right? Reach out to them. See how they're doing. Tell them that you value them. You care for them. You love them. And you appreciate the hard work that they're doing. Because I can tell you from experience, that conversation, you know, that example that I gave, that carried me through the week. It really did. Like that put wind in my sails for the rest of that week. Just having that life-giving conversation with someone that said, hey, I didn't realize your job was hard. Thank you. Or I didn't realize your job was that hard. Thank you for faithfully doing that. Dude, that put so much wind in my sails for that week. That was awesome. It was awesome. I loved it. And yeah, pastors need that. So, Jack, it's probably time to get out of here, my dude. Why don't we call this one done and send us out, my friend?
Yeah. If you appreciate Josh and I's focus here on the Reformatory, on the local church and how it's central to the believer's life, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. You can send us a DM, a message, question, comments, concerns, episode ideas, maybe even a little Instagram for the show as well, to react to. Oh, yeah. You can find us on the Metaverse, if you will. Meta, it's now called.
Meta.
It's still the Facebook. But yes. Anyway,
yeah.
You can find us on the Instagram, goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or you can find us on the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will, all at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us on other platforms with our endeavors.
That's right. There's multiple ways you can support the Reformatory. We are on YouTube. If you want to see this episode and the Instagrams, you can watch the video versions of those, as well as listen to it. Head on over to YouTube. Look for the Reformatory Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We'd greatly appreciate that. Rate and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. That's awesome. Click the link in the description of this episode for cool merch. That would be really, really cool. Get yourself some cool local church swag. That'd be awesome. Last but not least, we have a Patreon, and you get lots of bonus apps over there, Reformatory chat, cool releases of you know, anything that we're putting out to the public. You guys get it first for $5 a month, a fiver. That's it. A $5 holla. Mm. You too could become a Patreon supporter, and our pledge to you is that if you do so, your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.